See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in. Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
You're Cinescare.
Welcome to the Cinescare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And Joe, we have a special person with us. You care to introduce our guest?
There's a lady in the room. Yes, I'd like to welcome a newcomer our show, Leanne Albanese.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being head.
Thank you for and those of you, if you were listening to our episode on what was that, art horror, I think, with Melancholia.
Yes.
Joe read a really in-depth analysis of Melancholia written by Leanne,
and it was concise.
It was in depth too, though, Joe.
It made me understand it.
Yeah.
They're not mutually exclusive. I get it.
It made me smart now.
Yeah.
Throw incomplete smart sentences and just thought I could sprinkle a little something.
It was great. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to talk about Midnight Monster Club now, Joe. I mean,
just so everybody is aware. We've talked about this several times before on the show. I have met now officially, at least face to face, kind of through the internet, Leanne, because of Midnight Monster Club, which is a tremendous forum where like-minded individuals get together to talk about all things horror related. And so, Leanne, why don't you tell us a little bit about what drove you to signing up for that particular forum?
I actually saw an ad on Facebook saying, do you like horror? Do you want to share some of your interests with, as you said, like-minded people? And like some of us in the group had said, this has to be a scam. This can't be real. But hey, it's only a few dollars. If it's a scam, it's a scam. But let's see what it is. And it's the most wonderful, welcoming place. Everyone shares what they love about horror, what they love about movies, books, media. And there's no judgment. It's just the most welcoming place. We've started a book club. We have movie watch parties. And just everyone is just so loving and welcoming. Some people have even actually gotten their own little meetups all across the country. It's been fabulous.
Yeah, that's it. I haven't been on it as much as Joe, but I've been on there a little bit too. And it looks like just a really great thriving community for sure.
It's certainly one of those things that if you've got time on your hands, you can get lost in there. And it's, in my opinion, it's a lot more of a productive waste of time. And that's not derogatory. That's a compliment, more so than, scrolling through TikTok or scrolling through Instagram. I would much rather find out like-minded people's opinions about things, voice my own, strike up conversations with, because I, being from Davenport, Iowa, I don't walk down the street and find 100 people that are all like horror fans. Unlike
that would
Matt,
be weird if you did, though, John.
Well, that's pretty much your neighborhood. So,
well, it's true. Yeah, it is.
So other than I have a small handful of friends that I know that are into that type of stuff, but it's nice to find those people at the ready, willing to talk about stuff ad nauseum. Yeah. And so it's a fun little community. And if you're listening to this show and you haven't checked it out yet, stop what you're doing. Well, after you're done listening to this show, then go listen to the Midnight Monster Club. But go participate. Go sign up. It's free. And enjoy yourself. So.
And one of the things I've noticed and what I like about it is that it's not – a lot of these groups devolve into just bickering and arguing about horror, or like, you know, posting a million posts that are like, what's the most overrated horror movie, which is just it's just a ploy to get people to start arguing with each other, which is cheap engagement. It's not, there's nothing in depth about it. It's just cheap engagement. Like, and this isn't like that. It's very much devoted to love of horror, which I really enjoy that quite a lot. So.
Yeah. And you see that different people have their different interests. Some people really love merchandise. Some people really just know history and facts. Some people just know like different people of horror. So they post like the birthdays of different celebrities, the media of horror. So right now I'm using it as my platform. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So I'm using it as a way just to connect with like spooky ways you can use horror and your mental health. So that's what been posting on it. So like that's my niche. So like mental health and horror. So everyone has their own thing. So we have like someone who posts every day. It's like horror school. And posts background.
We need to have him on the show. Those are very, very detailed and
they're
in-depth.
Amazing. Yeah, just I'm background very behind the scenes facts.
Yeah.
That you just might not know about a horror movie. And he's posting every single day and finding new things about a different movie. So it's just incredible. So everyone has the thing that they know and that they're good at.
Yeah.
So it's not the fighting the in communities, it's just really the love of the genre.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to give credit to him. It's his name's Patrick Kendall, and he's doing a bang up job.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you are looking for a horror community that's positive and fun filled and has a little bit of everything, or a little bit of something you might be into, check it out. It's Midnight Monster Club, and it's on the app School SKOOL. Right. That's at least that's how I access it. And it's a way better use of your social media time than Facebook or Instagram or any of those others. So not, you know, nothing against our CineScare horror fans. Facebook.
No,
group,
they're great.
That's,
we love
that's
them.
Great, too. But this
almost
is
all of them.
Almost. Yeah, they almost all are nice.
Yeah.
Apparently one thinks Joe and I are very boring people, I guess.
No,
I don't know.
Personality.
I don't think we've ever been called that before, Joe. But
no, never in my life, actually. So
No, I haven't either.
Usually bright in the room, but yeah, you know, keep on trucking, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty bad when you bore a truck driver, Joe. I don't know how you do that, but because those guys they seem to get through some monotony, I would imagine. Yeah. But if our show bores them, that's not good, Joe.
No, we got to step it up. Well, that's why Leanne's here.
That's true. Yeah.
So
she's going to help
glitter
us.
And the sparkle.
That's right. There we go. Yeah. She's going to make us interesting.
That's one thing I can't do is bring glitter and sparkle.
No, so. Joe's not a sparkly type.
No, I'm more of a gravel and whiskey.
Yeah.
So Matt.
Yeah, Joe.
Matt, what have you watched?
I watched well, the only thing I've watched this week that was not theme related was Fruwaka. I did watch that movie that you told us to watch last episode, I think, or the one before, something like that.
Last episode.
And you're right. I loved it. I thought it was really good. It's a Irish folk horror, and directed by Aislinn Clarke. And this is I really enjoyed this. I thought that it's very creepy, and there's a lot of layers to it. And you know, some of it is you get the feeling you're not sure what's really in the old lady's head. And what's real and what's really going on here. But I thought it was good. And it's hard to talk about without giving too much away. And I don't want to do that. But it is on Shudder. So if you have Shudder, it's a really good, really good Irish folk horror. But when I say folk horror, there are some elements that sort of are Wicker Man-ish, like the masks that these guys, the head wear that the guys have on are a little Wicker-ish, you know, but it's not, I wouldn't call it a Wicker Man type of thing, because there's more of a supernatural element to it than just like this you know, there is that element of this kind of occult being in the area, but there's also a supernatural element that is a little different from movies where it's centered on the cult itself. But I thought it was good. I thought it's definitely worth checking out. It's a good, you know, kind of creepy if you're in the mood for kind of a creepy. There's some great, very creepy imagery. I loved the, you know, the basement scenes and everything were very tense. Those always get me when somebody goes down in the basement to get something and then goes running back up the stairs. And I always get like the, because I remember that as a kid doing that. So, but I like that. Highly recommend this one. It's definitely one of the better movies this year I've seen. So, yeah.
I got to agree. Those masks, they're very simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
But the design is tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
They did a wonderful job of pulling off a very creepy look with a very simplistic design.
Yeah.
Like they could do a lot more with it. Yeah. It's not like the type of movie that would have a sequel, but I just think that clan of people was very, very creepy. Love the masks.
The old lady did say something about like these creatures that live. There's a house that's under the house. That whole thing is creepy. But yeah. She said that they don't like pee, like urine. They don't. What was the other? There were two other things, but all three things were like things that no one likes. You know, this. Like nobody wants to step in pee. You know.
Yeah.
But
was it one of them salt?
Yeah, maybe it was salt.
Urine else.
And something else. I don't remember what the
probably
other one
broccoli
was.
Broccoli or something. I don't know.
Not broccoli, no.
Brussels sprouts.
Oh, you? No, like definitely sprouts. Not Brussels sprouts. Yeah. I love Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
I eat them 4 days a week, but salmon and Brussels. I do. What did you watch, Joe?
I watched a lot, actually. I watched The Ugly Stepsister, which is on Shudder.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody knows. Check out. I have like no attention span. This movie was a little too long, in my opinion. There was decent body horror when you did see it, but it was kind of not enough to save the length of the movie. I would have thought that something like The Ugly Stepsister, since it's a story we all already know, they could have sped through some of this stuff. It didn't all need to be as explained as much as it was. The acting, I wouldn't say, is exactly tremendous. They do a little spin on the morality of Cinderella, I should say, which I thought was a little interesting, sort of painting her in a different light without giving anything away. But this clearly just focuses on the ugly stepsister and her obsession for getting the prince and what she will go through. And what she goes through is quite lengthy. Like, Disney didn't draw it this way.
Yeah.
But
I hear it's a lot of body horror.
It's really the only thing that's scary about it is the very grotesque body horror, which you can kind of figure out just by looking at the poster, which is just a close up of her foot in a slipper that's bleeding out.
Yeah.
So it's okay. It's one of those things, like if you need to watch something new, you don't have the desire to revisit an old classic. It's worth a watch. I wouldn't hold your expectations up too high. Next, I watched Michael B. Jordan's Sinners, which, again...
Oh, good.
Yeah. I went double feature one day. I saw Sinners and Clown in a Cornfield back-to-back.
Oh, I didn't know you were... you told me you were going to Clown in a Cornfield, but I didn't know you were going to do Sinners, too.
Yeah, you know, why not? It's too long. 2 hours and 17 minutes. My sweet spot is... hour 30 to hour 40, somewhere around in there. But I
didn't even notice the length, actually. I didn't realize it was that long.
I would agree with you until the end. It sort of caught up on me. I was enjoying this story. I was enjoying the tale up until they introduce the vampires. I hope I didn't just give anything away. That's all pretty apparent, right?
I think everybody knows that.
Okay. Here, spoiler alert, they're Irish. So anyway, I was enjoying the storyline all the way up until about then, and that's when it sort of seemed to slag along a bit. There's definite plot holes in this. I won't point out too many of them just because I don't want to ruin it for anybody. And don't get me wrong, it was enjoyable. I do think people should go see it. I saw it with my son. He liked it. But I do think they could have shaved at least a good 17 minutes off of this and still kept the storyline. Some of the things like Michael B. Jordan literally appearing out of nowhere in one particular scene sort of ruined things for me, but it's okay. I personally wouldn't recommend you spending the money to go see this in the theater. I saw it like in IMAX big screen. It's shot very well. It's gorgeous to look at. I think they could have clipped a little here and there and tightened up some of the storyline, and I probably would have been happier.
No, I completely totally disagree on that.
Yep.
You must see this on the big screen. I think it begs to be seen on the big screen, and I think it's maybe could be my number one this year, but I do think it's visually stunning. It should be seen on the big screen.
And then lastly, of course, like I said, I watched Clown in a Cornfield, and this you should go see in the theaters just because it's fun. It's refreshing. It is a typical slasher horror film. There's decent amount of guts in this one. The actor whose name I constantly forget, Kevin Durant. He's in plenty of things. Big, tall guy. Anyway, he plays the mayor in this particular thing. I want to say there's got to be other things you would have known. He was in Abigail, Lock and Key, Most Dangerous Game. Show. Yes, plenty of things. Look him up on IMDb and you'll know exactly who I'm talking about once you see his face.
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yes, yes. Yeah, he's got an IMDb page longer than my arm. But anyway, I like him. He's kind of a... he's never going to be a leading actor or in anything, but he's a great character actor. I like him and the things that he's in. It's fun. The main characters, like the kids that we're supposed to be attached to, it's this girl that moves into a town, you know, she kind of has to, her dad's relocating them or something. And there's this lore of the town that there's, the town was famous for, I guess, inventing corn syrup or being famous for it. And there was a clown on the label, and every year, the clown sort of comes back, and this year he's starting to kill people. So the main characters, the high school students that are in this film, there's nobody really, in my opinion, all that memorable, but the way it's written, you literally could have interchanged any other actor into their roles. And I still would have had fun with the story because it's not really so much about them as it is the lore of this clown and all the killings that happen. So, but this was fun. I don't want to call it a feel good movie, but that's kind of how I felt watching it. But, I think people should run out and go see this.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would like to go see it for sure. Maybe this weekend.
Yeah. Although I think it's a Shudder film. So
it will be on Shudder.
Yeah, give it a month. It'll be on Shudder too.
Yeah, this seems like a crowd movie though, so I would like to see it with a crowd. It seems like that kind of film. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although the crowds may have died down this weekend. I don't know. We'll see.
I thought it was better than, let's say, like a Hard Eyes, which, you know, would be another crowd film worthy of in the theaters, but this one was more fun. So.
Yeah. Leanne.
Yeah, I was going to say... other than that, I've been rewatching all of the Mission Impossibles in preparation to see the last one.
Yeah.
So that's it. Now I'm done.
Leanne, have you watched anything you want to talk about that's new at all recently? Or
Taste Tuesday. So Sunday, I watched Final Destination Bloodlines.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
It was really enjoyable. I thought it was fun. They definitely upped, I don't know if we say the gore, the violence, the kill factor. So definitely bringing back Final Destinations.
Yeah.
Love the trailer with the family cooking out. It's tremendous.
Oh, yeah. It is great. Yeah.
They definitely built this, the suspense. What you said, the Rue Goldberg machines, where you're just waiting and you're like, oh, is it going to be this? Is it going to be this? And, just like the viciousness of like what could possibly take them out.
Yeah.
They increased and you're just like, oh, like these are just mean now. Yeah. And you're just waiting.
Yeah.
Definitely. for this. If people don't know, this was Tony Todd's last movie. So his scene in the movie is definitely a love letter to the fans, to the audience. And like, you feel it, like it is him saying goodbye. So like, that is definitely a moment for it. It's not a new movie, but The Parenting also came out in 2025, I believe. It's on HBO Max. It's Brian Cox is in it. Lisa Kudrow. It's basically it's a horror comedy. It's a couple has their parents meet each other, and it's a possessed haunted house movie. And they accidentally summon a demon, and Brian Cox gets possessed. And it's ridiculous, and horror silliness ensues. So this one's more of a silly, just ridiculous movie.
Oh, wow. Brian Cox in it.
Yeah,
that's
funny. Like, yeah, it's like, I was Edie like, Falco's he's still doing this.
Wow.
Oh, they Parker have Posey. Him
say the most like ridiculous, vulgar things, and it's just coming from Brian Cox. And I'm like, okay, like, good for him.
That's
oh, I'm gonna watch this.
Yeah.
The Midnight Monster Club also watched Autopsy of Jane Doe this week. So another Brian Cox film.
Good one.
So I will always recommend that one to people if you haven't seen it. It's just a fantastic mystery of a father and son mortician trying to solve the mystery of how this young woman died. And during the group, we do have a chat that discusses the movie, and we make comments. And something that we do comment on is it's not a dummy or a mannequin. It is the actual actress lying there the entire time. So like, that is a real person.
Yeah, right.
Staying there on screen the entire time. So just to add to the realism and the amazingness of the movie.
What an acting like gig to have too. You're just basically
I'm just gonna play a corpse and
you're just gonna lie there naked the whole time, but all you have to do is lie on a table.
Not move.
And not that would be hard. Yeah.
Like
would.
You can't you have to hold your breath, you can't move, like
especially your eyes. It would be it's harder than you think to keep your eyelids from flickering,
twitching,
you know?
And moving.
Yeah.
And then I just did a bunch of where's my I have a whole sheet of just because I keep track because I count at the end of the year. I rewatched The Cleansing Hour. We watched American Werewolf in London. And then new movies for me was Cannibal Ferox because I wanted to compare it to Cannibal Holocaust.
Oh.
Because it's supposed to be like, it's supposed to be a ripoff, but it is supposed to be like more gratuitous and more brutal.
Oh.
They set the bar pretty high with the original, so
yeah.
Very I almost felt like it like just actually was more gratuitous. Because they also have almost equal amounts of real animal death. It's another one that just goes for it, and I was like, well, okay, then, like, that was an actual animal dying on screen. Because the laws were just very different back then. And then I was just like, okay, well, like, there's, like, I was like, we're just doing that there. I was like, oh, I'm like, did we just copy this movie, like, shot for shot? But, like, to see how much more violent we could make it. But I was like, good to know.
Is it made by the same people?
It's not.
Mm-hmm.
But, the argument that is typically made is that Cannibal Holocaust actually has like the message of like the exploitation like of the tribes, where this was literally just like, we're just going to throw people in the woods and see what happens. And like, we're just going to do it violence for violence sake. So it was just a schlocky like gore movie. And like, you kind of can see it.
Yeah.
Like, so not that I say Cannibal Holocaust is artistic, but it had a value in a way.
It's an art film.
Yeah. Like I'm the weird person that depending on the day will defend a Serbian film. Like depending on the day,
that's
like
a I will defend tall it. Argument. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like that's where I'm like, not that I'm defending Cannibal Holocaust, but like it had a purpose.
Right. Yeah. No,
where Ferox doesn't.
Yeah.
For the record, I have friends from Serbia and I've been told that the entire country hates that actor.
Okay.
Because of that film and the director.
Because he's like, it's supposed to have meaning from like the war. And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't live there. I can't speak to it. Like,
yeah,
I can understand if that was your intention. So,
right.
Like, I can understand, but not my lived experience. I don't go there. Right. So,
yeah.
But I fear you could have done it a different way, but art. But. And then, After Midnight was the other one I watched.
After Midnight.
That's on Hulu.
That one sounds familiar.
Ringing a bell. Yeah.
So basically the, this guy's, long-term girlfriend leaves him, or I should say goes on vacation. She doesn't leave him. She just gets up and he basically says that there's a monster like attacking him and the whole town thinks he's crazy. And then she like comes back and it's, is there a monster? Isn't there? So has he just completely lost it? And then we kind of see flashbacks into their relationship. So, but if you look at the poster, it kind of gives you clues of what's going on. So it was a very interesting movie. I was like, okay. I was like, it's kind of, is there, isn't there? And
interesting.
It's a very cause like, okay, I'm like, what's going, I was like, is this a domestic, like, is this a metaphor? Is this like what's happening?
Yeah.
Very interesting watch for like, I was like, okay, I'm like you got me there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of one you'd put on in the background, but you still have to be listening.
Right. Yeah.
So you don't fully have to pay attention, but it was a good. Just kind of in the background. I always try to, I love foreign films. I always like, I started The Ugly Stepsister, but then I had to go back to work and I was like, damn it. So I feel like I have to keep pausing it.
Yeah, yeah.
It kills me. I always want to watch all these foreign films, but I never have time. So I always put on these other ones.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Let me put on this background one so I can keep going to work and like, damn it. So it's my goal. My foreign movie list just never ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
One day.
I didn't want to interrupt, but Matt, do you know who else is in The Parenting?
Who? No.
Hank.
Oh, Dean Hank. Norris. Yeah, I did Hank. See the picture. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
We need to do like an entire episode of nothing but Hank films.
Right.
Hank
yeah,
horror no, films.
Hank horror films.
Dean Norris is the actor. He played Hank on Breaking Bad. He was the DEA agent that busted Jesse Pinkman and...
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's just been creeping up in a lot of movies that we've been watching lately. I had no idea how many he had done. So, and then also The Autopsy of Jane Doe. Speaking of lying still, did anybody other than me watch the entire trailer for Osgood Perkins' Keeper?
I did not watch the whole thing, though.
You should. You should put it on. While you're doing some work, just make another window and put it on and let it run for an hour and 6 minutes because there are two jump scares in it.
Oh, there are. Oh, okay.
Yes.
It's an hour and six minutes.
Oh, it's an hour and 6 minute
it's
long.
It's just
teaser.
Her tapping. And I thought
she's drawing on a piece of paper and her eyes, like I wasn't paying close enough attention to see if her eyes ever blink, but I don't think they do. But she's just sitting there drawing, and then there's two little clips that just blurred in that scare the crap out of you.
I typically don't watch trailers of any kind because I find that they ruin everything.
This is hard. So
this
trailer.
Doesn't ruin a thing.
Yeah, no,
this
it doesn't.
This won't give away a thing.
Okay.
No.
So if you got the time, I'd put it on.
Yeah. I'll put it on one in the background of a therapy session and see if it freaks anyone out.
There you go. Yeah. Oh,
see if anyone catches it.
Yeah. Exactly. All right.
Just turn the volume up really loud when you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
especially at that part
in the background.
Oh, the scratching. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it is. I mean, I saw that and I thought, oh, it's going to be an hour of just this girl drawing. So I didn't watch very much of it, but you know, I'll have to check out the jump scares now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that brings
There's that funny sound effect.
There's that funny little sound effect.
Yeah.
That brings us to our theme of the week, which was Joe's theme. So, Joe, take it.
So this week we are tackling the Cloverfield franchise, and you can't see me, but I'm going to put that in air quotes. They are kind of loosely tied together, and obviously we're not going to pull a Joe. We're going to discuss these in chronological order, not reverse order. Although, yeah, anyway. So we're going to start with Cloverfield from 2008, directed by Matt Reeves, starring Mike Vogel, Lizzie Kaplan, and of course, TJ Miller, who I was very thrilled when he, spoiler alert, stopped talking. So this is a found footage film, and anybody that's listened to more than three episodes of CineScare knows what my feelings are about found footage. But despite that, I chose this topic anyway. This is about a group of friends that venture deep into the streets of New York on a rescue mission during a rampage of a kaiju that's tearing New York apart. So, Leanne, since you're a guest, go first. So why don't you tell us what you thought about this film?
So this was the first time I think I've rewatched it since 2008.
Same. Yeah.
That's all the way around. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't hate it. I definitely think there are parts where I was questioning the plausibility of some stuff, because I remember it being definitely more grounded. But there's definitely parts where I'm like, you would hear the army and like the tanks behind you. Like there's a part where they're going down and the monster is in front of them, and then just all of a sudden like the whole army and tanks and like the like RPGs are just like black. I'm like, you would have heard them. Like there's no way they just snuck up behind you.
Right.
I'm like, that took me out of it. So I'm like, no, like this is still grounded, still believable. Like I got you. So that took me out.
Yeah, and that's the power of whatever's not in frame being able to sneak up on you, no matter if it's a tank. Like it's not really believable if it's like one guy, let alone being a whole army, basically.
Whole army.
Yeah, yeah.
And then while doing my deep dive exploration into things, I found another thing that like deeply hurt me, where someone was saying that most people and like the youth today will not understand how, if they're watching it today, how Rob taking like a new phone he got out of a store and putting his SIM card in it and now his phone works.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, they're like, wait, what do you mean? How does his phone now work? How does it have his contacts? How does it have his voicemail?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, children don't know what SIM cards are, do they? And I was like, no, like that actually hurts me. And I was like, yeah, that one does hurt.
Yeah.
But so prior to the release of Cloverfield, because and this is for all of them, J.J. Abrams went really hard on his like whole marketing campaign. And so he did something called this AGR, which is like an alternate reality game. And it's all in the marketing. So before this movie even released, they made websites and media content for these characters. They all had MySpace pages. The characters all talked to each other on MySpace. There's a company called Slushco, which is the company that Rob is the VP for, which is why he's moving to Japan. It never actually says that, but all the characters actually have shirts in the movie that say Slushco, which is where he's going. And Slushco has a website, and the oil rig that explodes is for a company called, and I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, It is called Tagrigato.
And I think it's Tagrado.
Because there's three syllables.
Tagrato.
It's Tagrigato, like, because they had three syllables every thing I listened to. Because it's Japanese and it's all fancy. And there was all these videos in every language, Italian, Spanish, Japanese, German, about the oil rig going down, footage from the ship, footage from aboard the ship of all the people. And they're saying, why is it going down? Is it a terrorist attack? They think it's an eco-terrorist group called Tido, T-I-D-O, and they have a website. And, like, all of it, because it's an ARG, you would Google something, and you had to have, like, a password, and you could, like, log into it. And it was all these different games. There was something called, like, the Ryville Research Center, which put out medical reports about what they were drilling, which is called the seabed nectar, which is in the main ingredient in Slushko.
Wow.
Which is in this drink. And apparently it's saying how dangerous it is. And then there's this whole, like, other secret video, and her name, and it's this whole website. It's called Jamie Loves Teddy. And it was this blog from a girl named Jamie to her boyfriend Teddy. And Teddy is apparently this eco warrior who works for Tido. And he said, like, this is evidence. Like, don't, like, you have to hide it. If you got this message, I'm, like, captured. Like, they got me. And she's like, well, if you wanted to break up with me, that's all you had to do. She's the girl who's unconscious on the couch in the beginning of the party.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And she ate the nectar, and it's saying, like, all the effects that it's going to have. So, like, this goes, like, deep.
Deep.
And there's so many, like, just wait till we get into the next two movies, because it got deeper. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, the amount of work they put into this.
He took the marketing plan from the Blair Witch Project.
It's deeper. And just
blew it up. 100 times,
right?
Yeah. Going much more in depth than they ever could.
Yeah,
so much more in depth.
Wow.
So
that's,
like,
crazy.
It got, like, on the website. It was like there were pictures and with animals, and, like, you had to arrange the animals in a certain thing by Roman numeral, and that's what spelled, like, T-I-D-O, and that's what you would Google, and that's how you got to the Tidal Wave website. And I'm like, dude, like, that's, I don't know, crazy, how anyone figured this out. And just wait till we get to Paradox and, like, 10 Cloverfield Lane, because it got worse.
Yeah, but they had all this extra money laying around for marketing because they didn't have to spend it on a cinematographer. Most of the footage was shot by the actors.
Yeah.
So,
or I shouldn't say most, but a good portion was.
So I was like, poor, was it TJ Miller? Is he the one filming it himself?
TJ Miller, yeah.
He is also our narrator throughout the entire film.
We could have just told him to
duct
tape Deadpool, just duct tape his mouth. It would have been fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all right, Matt, what did you think?
Yeah, this is the first time I'd seen it since 2000, or since I don't know if I saw it in the theater or I saw it after it came out on HBO or wherever it came out, but I don't think I might have gone to the theater. I just don't remember now. But Lizzie, I didn't remember a lot of people who were in it. I didn't remember that TJ Miller was the guy with the camera. And I only really am familiar with him because of Deadpool and really because of Silicon Valley, which he's funny in Silicon Valley. I've read that he was a pain in the ass to work with, and he kind of got kicked off the show, but he was very funny in Silicon Valley. Like he and some of the guys that lived in the house, he made the show at times. But in this, I agree, it's too much. It's like, and then also this one suffers from the same problem a lot of found footage films suffer, and that is, why are you carrying the camera? And that's one that this movie can't get out of the way of, because there's no way. I can understand if it's like Paranormal Activity and you're trying to record events happening in your house for evidence, that I get. But if a catastrophe is going on that's this scale, there's no one going to keep their camera going. Not that much. Yeah, you might record things on your phone, or back then it was, I guess, on the camera. You might record some things, but it really pushes the boundaries of your ability to suspend disbelief on it when there's all this going on and you're still trying to keep it in frame, right? Like anytime there's a problem in real life and you're holding a camera, there's some jumble, there's some, you know, whatever. And I get you can't do that for a movie all the time, but it kind of pulls you out of a little bit. Having said that, I think this is pretty effective. I still think the Statue of Liberty head flying across the city and landing in front of us, it was a cool image when we saw it in the previews, and it's still, I think, a pretty cool image. It doesn't look as good as it did back then, maybe, but it still is pretty cool. I thought that, you know, there's the first image where you really get to see the monster crawling past you, or walking past you, or whatever it does, in the city, is still a pretty effective image. Even though it's, you know, 2008, effects and fairly lower budget effects at that, it's still I thought a lot of that stuff still was, you know, pretty effective. I didn't realize Lizzie Kaplan was in this movie. I didn't remember that she was in, and of course at the time I didn't know who she was. She's actually a good friend of somebody I used to work with, but I didn't realize she was in this, and I always liked Lizzie. She didn't have a huge part really, or a lot to do. I mean, she was a big part of the movie, but she, you know, kind of
perfectly cast.
Yeah. But kind of took a second backseat to some of the others. But overall, it's entertaining enough. But there is a reason, I think, probably, that all three of us haven't watched it since then. You know, it's not one that I ever think, oh, I really want to get that one out and watch it again. You know, it didn't bother me. You know, sometimes when that's the case and I watch a movie again after a long time, I'm like, oh, that's why I didn't watch it again. But in this case, I didn't, you know, I didn't hate what I was watching while I was watching it. You know, it was, I still think it's an entertaining movie and pretty effective at what it does for the most part, you know, but it's nothing great.
It's a rounding endorsement.
Yeah.
I wanted to point out, speaking of the trailers for this, the first trailer premiered before the Transformers movie, and all you saw was the explosion in the heart of New York City and then the head of the Statue of Liberty hitting the ground, and there was no title. That's how it ended.
Mm-hmm.
And it got everybody saying, yeah, what the hell is this?
Right. Right. And you didn't know what it was, right? At the time, it was, you know, I also like the little things that fall down. Like, you kind of had to have those little things that fell off of the guy, you know, after
human
the main guy.
Scale parasites.
Is that what they are?
Because if it's just a kaiju, it's just everybody.
Right.
Run.
You can kind of hide underground and he'll never get you. But those things make it impossible really to kind of really get
it
away. So
personalizes it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where they came from and what they've been doing all this time, but
they came from Paradox, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I guess that's true, yeah.
I also found out that the giant head of the Statue of Liberty that you saw is 50% larger than the actual head.
Oh.
Because they did the measurements and they had it laying on the ground, like, it's just not big enough.
That's not going to be big Everybody enough. Everybody
else is going to be, so, all right, bump it up a bit. My favorite little, I wouldn't even call it an Easter egg, but the scene where Rob goes in to get the other phone, put a SIM card in, they keep showing, you know, and everyone's looting. They keep showing clips from all these different news anchors all over the place. And there was one clip of the SpongeBob SquarePants news anchor, which I just absolutely adored that they put in there. So
if you look really hard, you have to pause them at just the right time. In all of the scenes where it's the taped over scenes, mm-hmm. With Rob and Beth, right?
Yeah,
Macbeth. I think it's Matt Reeves. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
He put their micro frames. So you have to like pause it at just the right second. There's a clip of the original King Kong, the original like Beast from the Sea, and one of the dinosaur movies. It's like a micro frame. So
this is like a Fight Club thing.
Yeah, there's micro frames. Okay. So because people like slowed it down, because there's one where you see, is it Clover falling to Earth? Is it a satellite falling to Earth? In one of the, in the very last one, when it shows them at the Coney Island, you see a satellite or Clover. It's everyone's arguing which one is it. Mm-hmm. So everyone slowed it down, but you get a clip from it. So you can see all the microframes. So he spliced in clips from like old kaiju monster movies as like love letters to those movies.
Wow.
So it's all throughout those clips of him over the them taping over his footage. So they're in those scenes.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. We're going to move on over to 10 Cloverfield Lane, which came out in 2016, directed by Dan Trachtenberg, but starring John Goodman, John Gallagher Jr., and of course, my personal favorite, and hope to be meeting her someday. I don't know. Mary Elizabeth Winstead. So this is about, after getting into a car accident, Michelle awakens to find herself in a mysterious bunker with two men named Howard and Emmett. Howard offers a pair of crutches to help her remain mobile with her leg injury sustained from the car crash and tells her, you got to get good on these before leaving the bunker. And she has been given the information that there's been an alien attack outside the world is poisoned. And however, the longer she's there, she starts to realize that Howard and Emmett's intentions may soon become questionable. And Michelle's perplexed about whether it's better to be inside or out. So Matt, why don't you
let's have Leanne start us off on all these, because you know I think the information she's got on these, especially tying all this together, I'd like to hear it before I talk.
Well, and actually, she's got more personality than the.
That's true. She's not as boring as us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead, Leanne. Take it away.
So first, this was never meant to be a Cloverfield movie. It was originally called The Cellar, and they microfitted it to be a Cloverfield movie. It was just supposed to be three people in a cellar, and it was a micro budget horror film, and it was originally under Paramount's like mini label, like I think it's called like Insurge or something, which is closed. It's defunct. They don't have it. And then basically Daddy JJ Abrams came in. He was like, hey, like, I like this. So retrofitted it to be a Cloverfield movie. And that's how it came into the franchise that it is. And Mary Elizabeth Winstead has gone on record. It's like, oh, they barely changed the script. Like, they barely touched it. Don't worry. It's fine. So what they did to it, we'll never know. Huh. I honestly, this is my personal favorite of the three. My bias.
Totally, no, I agree.
Out there now.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Like honestly, just the whole and like it's not my therapist talking, I promise. Just how damn scary John Goodman is, because I just know him as the biggest teddy bear.
Right.
And he is the scariest thing. And you just see how I'm just gonna throw out manipulative just from the bat, because like and I'm sorry to say, I've never liked Mary Elizabeth Winstead in the movies that they put her in for horror. I'm sorry, I have to. Like everyone's like, oh my god, she's the best scream queen, and I'm like, is she? Like, I've never seen it.
No, I wouldn't like, go there. Like, this is more of a my love affair with her is from other movies.
Yeah, there was like Scream Queen. I was like, really? Is she?
Yeah, I don't know if I call it a scream queen, but yeah.
Everyone like hypes it up so much, and I'm like, I've never seen it, but okay. But for this movie, I'm like, boss bitch, final girl, yes. Like, she is so smart. She is so resourceful. Like, everything she's doing, I'm like, yes. And she is doing all the right things. Like, she's made plans. She, like, a million escape attempts, and she's doing everything. She's taking
even in the Thing remake. Constant. She was,
yeah, and
she's
it's awful.
Boss bitch. Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, she's, we don't like that movie. I don't see her as a victim like a final girl. Ever. Yeah. Mm.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But in this one, amazing. She's taking in the information and she's like, I don't believe you. Like, I think you kidnapped me and threw me in a bunker. Like, and he's like, I'm saving your life. And she's like, I don't believe you. And he's like, you should be grateful. And he's reading it and he's equally playing it. So he's like, I need to get her to trust me. So he's playing it just as quick. So when she has a minute to escape, there's a minute. So she sees that, like, he's the one who, like, caused her car accident. So he's like, damn, she clocked me. So he's like, hey, you know what? This is eating me alive. I need to tell you, like, I panicked. I'm the one who hit you, but, like, I couldn't leave you there to die. So, like, and again, I don't believe it for a second. Like, I'm like, this was like, I have a whole conspiracy theory that this is planned from the start. But either way about that, he's reading her just as quickly as she's reading him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this whole cat and mouse manipulation game. So if you don't know that this, so again, if this was still just called The Cellar, and we had no idea that this was part of the Cloverfield franchise, like, are there aliens? Are there not aliens? Are there, is there a threat? Is there not? Like, is this man crazy? Or, like, is he actually trying to keep me alive? And this level of manipulation and this whole situation that he's played out of, like, wanting to play the happy family. Because if you see, he still has his wedding ring on the entire movie. So he's like, I'm a good father. I'm just trying to keep my daughter safe. And, but, like, he clearly kidnapped that other girl and was, like, trying to force her to be Megan 2.0. And when that didn't work, he needed another Megan. And that's where Michelle comes in. And he was going to play Happy Little Family. And Emmett was ruining that plan. So, whoopsie daisy. But it was not good. So he was ruining his plans. But with the ARG for this one, he says he worked for the Navy for 14 years. Mm-hmm. And that piece of mail he has, Bold Futura, is a subsidiary of Tegregado. And his bestie,
wow.
Nicola, it's like Nicola Rossa, was, like, put in prison because, like, he saw something on the satellites and he didn't want to go to jail for it. And it's this whole thing. So Bold Futura is Tegregado, which is the military and his satellite thing. And in they put the website back up when they before this movie came up. He's employee of the month and he has a Radio Man 70 shirt. And if you, like, go to that, there's, like, a secret website called, like, Pretty and Fun Things. And there's a picture of Molly Ringwald from Pretty in Pink, which he says is his daughter Megan's favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if you click on it, it goes to, like, secret chats between him and Megan. And it's just him trying to, like, tell her, like, I need to get you safe. Like, you need to come back. Like you, I just want to keep you safe. So the whole thing is, like, his wife clearly took the daughter, like, to get her safe. And, like, there's, you find out there's, like, a restraining order against him. Like, the wife, like, clearly was keeping the daughter away from him. And he's, like, still, like, just trying to keep the daughter safe, but they were communicating. He, like, bought her this, like, survival book. He was, like, communicating there. The ARG, like, there's, like, a drink called, like, and it's a real drink, apparently. It's called Swamp Pop, which is a drink you can get in the South. And that opened up a website. And apparently it led people to coordinates. And someone literally went to those coordinates with a shovel and literally dug in the middle of the woods.
Wow.
And it led to an ammo box. And it had stuff in it. And it had like USBs and like a survival kit. And the survival kit and the USBs like had a whole bunch of audio files on it. And like people.
Wow.
And then someone, another person found stuff on a website and it had a cell phone. So people are just like having cell phones from like John Goodman with like voicemails from him. And I'm like, y'all, this has got too much. Like, yeah. They took this way, again, like you said, micro budget, so they could just bury shit in the middle of the woods. And I'm like, you are literally sending random people to the middle of the woods to go dig up your shit. And I'm like, guys,
you got to wonder if they got everything, you know, or
they
if there's still stuff
shit on Craigslist.
Wow.
And they had people talking on a Craigslist ad pretending to be Megan's mother.
Oh my God.
And like
God.
They were talking and like basically it was like trying to buy the stuff and people were like, I'm on the ARG. And like the person who like got through to them was the person who pretended to be the most concerned about Megan. And I'm like, oh my God, this is deranged. Like, I'm a little concerned about this.
Yeah.
Like you would, I'm like, this is role playing to like a little too extreme.
No kidding. Yeah. Crazy.
But then my husband was like, no, Destiny did this. Like, there's, like, fucking swords and, like, guns in the middle of the woods that people, like, not real guns, like, Nerf guns. Like, in the middle of the woods that people do all the time. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, no, Destiny, like, dropped some kind of, like, Nerf gun or something that people found in the middle of the woods. And I'm like, what do you mean they're putting shit in the middle of the woods? And the people just go out and find it. And I'm like, I'm like, y'all have problems. Like, I would not, I'm like, this is how people get kidnapped. Like, for real.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But, like, and, like, there's, like, ham radio signals, like, on these audio files that were just, like, beeps in, like, things. And you needed to know what it's called it was SSTV, like, short scan something. And you needed an MMS program. And if you have that, it actually makes an image.
Wow.
And it was a picture from like an alien or some shit from space. So that's how he knew the attack was coming and knew to get in the bunker. Like,
okay.
they made that. So everyone's like, 10 Cloverfield Lane is not connected. And I'm like, no, it's connected.
Wow.
Like, it is so connected. Yeah.
That's insane.
Like, their levels of this go so deep. And I'm like, what poor intern had to do this and then also go into the middle of the woods and bury the box? That's what I want to know. Wow. Like, J.J. Abrams wasn't even involved on this one until the very end.
Yeah, but, like, it's true.
He has way too much influence.
Yeah.
So, like, crazy. Again, it's my favorite one, but it's like, it's too much.
Yeah.
I think
this
movie.
I didn't know how deep it went.
I would have loved to have seen this movie in its original form without it.
I would have loved
having
it.
The Cloverfield moniker to it.
Yeah.
Just because you would have gone into it
not having no idea
the ending could have even potentially had aliens.
Right.
And
I mean, you'd have some sense that it's a possibility, but you wouldn't, you know, you would. The title 10 Cloverfield Lane leads you to believe, well, it's got to have something to do with aliens.
Some sort of alien.
And it's not a shock when they show up.
Yeah.
But how you said, so the first one came out on a Michael Bay Transformers one. Do you know what this came out on?
It was another Michael Bay film.
Mm-hmm.
I did read. I don't remember.
13 Hours.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
So they were attaching it to all the Michael Bay stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Crazy.
So I was like, another conspiracy.
Yeah.
All right, Matt, do you have anything to add?
Well, I agree. This is, it's a good, It's definitely the best of these three. I do agree that calling it 10 Cloverfield Lane and putting it, you know, it kind of, I wish there was a way for the Cloverfield part of it to have come out in the third act rather than being in the title, because I agree it, you know, like it would have been a great reveal and, oh, this is tied to Cloverfield.
Just do the mailbox.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
The mailbox at the end with the address on it that's already there. They could have kept it the seller and just left it as 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Right. Because it does. It does. I don't say it ruins it, but it definitely takes out that element of, is he crazy or is there, you know, but when you call it Cloverfield, you know, there's going to be something at the end, or at least, you know, if there wasn't, you'd be surprised by that, you know. I'm not sure why, and maybe you guys can answer this, but I don't know why he kidnapped John Gallagher.
He didn't. Like,
why did Emmett? What was the deal there?
Emmett had been helping him build it.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing like in a weak moment, just allowed him in.
Oh, okay.
Because he was, isn't that how he injured himself? Was trying to get in.
Emmett saw the flash and thought maybe there was an attack.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, oh, we're under attack. And this guy I know is building a bunker.
Oh, that's right.
Go there.
Just like
and
the
woman did. And he basically saw.
Yeah.
Like him carrying Michelle inside.
Yeah.
But it goes against his plan.
Yeah,
because he just wanted it to be him and Michelle so he could play a happy little family. Emmett was not part of that plan.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm surprised he let him. I'm surprised he let him in, period, just because I figured he would have meticulously calculated the amount of resources that they had down there.
Yeah.
You know,
he's right.
Planned for two people for 2 years.
They have extra.
Oh, yeah probably extra. Mm-hmm. That's true. Bradley Cooper was in it, right?
Yep.
Played the voice of the boyfriend, I guess. But yeah, no, I thought this was, Ben. Yeah.
Was his name.
Yeah. I thought this was pretty good. I do think, you know, it kind of suffers from the, now in this case though, the monsters are alien in nature though, right?
They are alien.
Yeah. So it's not like something from the sea. So it does sort of, you know, I feel like, I don't know. It was a little too easy to kill that guy. All she had to do is do a little Molotov cocktail in the mouth and it killed him. I don't know. Seemed like something he might have looked out for if he's capable of traveling across distances. But I'm guessing
you're suggesting though that he's the one doing the traveling on his own accord.
What do you mean?
Well, we'll get to that on the next film.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, obviously, yeah, I guess there's a rift in space and time, but they still have some pretty advanced technology that they're running, you know. And then the little animals, I don't know, it's like it's like a dog kind of thing flying around, you know, it's a separate kind of creature. So it's sort of like the little ones in the first one, I guess. And I would have liked a little bit more. I feel like some of it got a little repetitious in the second act, and if that had been cut down, I would like to see a little bit more of the post escape world. So I don't know, maybe if that would have involved a sequel or something like that, a direct sequel to this, but it would have been interesting to see something more from this world, I guess.
They could have easily picked up where she arrives at Houston.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah, as a sequel or whatever. And I don't know. I don't know how well. I don't recall now how well this did, but I feel like it did pretty well when it came out. It certainly wasn't a bomb or anything like that. It seems like something that could have warranted a sequel, right?
I think people were generally mixed just because of the general J.J. Abrams vibe.
Hmm.
Budget was $15 million. Opening weekend made $24.7 million. And gross worldwide $110 million. So this is not a bomb.
Yeah.
By any
worldwide $110 million is okay. It's not great though.
Yeah, so, but with a $15 million
budget. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. No, it did well enough to warrant more. I mean, sure, you know, there have been other movies in this category that get sequels. So I don't know. I'm not sure why it seems like such a, I guess, disjointed franchise, if it is a franchise. But this I'd like this one definitely the best of the three, for sure. Yeah.
I do want to point out that you see Slusho, the brand name, in the convenience store when she's actually outside. I agree. John Goodman is an absolute gem in this. The only thing that I've seen him in that I like him even better would be in Red State, where he's just so commanding and forceful. But this was just so creepy. And, you know, just because the guy's crazy doesn't mean he's wrong. Mm-hmm. And you have to keep telling yourself that over and over again.
Is he crazy?
Yeah, apparently not, you know. And I will say, I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, although this is 7 years old. 9 years old. I will always be shocked about the interaction between John Goodman and Emmett for the last time. That always catches me by surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, and when she finally does go outside and that mask comes off for the first time, I just, even, you know, I've probably seen this movie 6-7 times. And every time I just keep waiting for her face to melt off. Like she just opened up the Ark of the Covenant, you know, because you're John Goodman, so believable in convincing with this. So, all right, well, we only have one more to go. So this is Cloverfield Paradox from 2018. Oh, so we have two to go. Technically, if you're going to say Overlord, that's been disproven.
No, that was supposed to be it.
I looked that one up in particular, and I was read that that's not true. But we'll still certainly talk about it. So the last one is... Oh, I don't know anything about that. Cloverfield Paradox, done in 2018. This was a direct to Netflix, I believe. Orbiting a planet on the brink of war, scientists test a device to solve an energy crisis and end up face to face with a dark alternate reality. So go ahead, Leanne, finish it off.
Yeah, I did not like this.
Had you seen it before?
I think I started it and I turned it off.
Yeah,
I haven't. I've never seen
this. This was the first time for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I had started it and I was just like, what? And I was like, yeah, no, attention span off. But then I was like, this is where I was like, yeah, I really should have learned what ARGs were, because I think I would have cared. Because this one, again, they went hard on these ARGs. So, again, all the fans were like, okay, I think there's something brewing in the Cloverfield universe. So, people started hearing that J.J. Abrams was working on something called, like, the God Particle. So, they started messing around on the Tegaratu's website. And it kept saying that, this is before the movie came out, and it kept saying browser incompatible. So they were like, okay, so they're hiding something on here. And then eventually it said that, and it was in all these like jumbled files that people were able to uncover, that said it was like a press release that Tegaratu was working on developing this new energy, and they're planning on revealing and releasing it on around like April 18th, 2028. And now everyone's like, okay, that's a website that we're going to start messing with. It was 4/18/2028, and they started using that website. And it was clips of I would say his name. Is it Donald or Donald Logue? He's the one who does the newscaster clip in the movie. And they just started doing like some of the clips, and it was like teaser videos of him and his newscaster clip from the movie.
It's Donald.
He's Irish. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah. I'm like, Donald. And that was like the hints and the previews they started getting. And it's like, it starts saying the CEI and like, this will cause the CLO. And everyone's like, what is this? Like, it's more of the Cloverfield. Like, we're getting another one. So everyone's like, this is amazing. They made LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram pages for, they called it Cloverfield Station. So everyone thought that that was going to be the name of this movie, Cloverfield Station. And then eventually, there were more pictures of like desks and really cute. On one of them, there was a little R2-D2 toy on it. So everyone was like, J.J. Abrams, we see you. They brought Tito back, which hadn't been seen from the first one. So there was more about this eco-terrorism. So what's going on there? And it was saying, you know, this energy is dangerous. We can't have this energy. They kept alternating all these videos and there's all this dangerous stuff. And then it kept that almost that full clip of Donald Logue's video. And then it went to revealing that it was the paradox. So going into the movie, God, they can't keep a story straight. And when you're going to jump around with time and the time space continuum, J.J. Abrams does like that, but can't fault the guy. He does love time and space. I don't think they initially intended, because obviously 10 Cloverfield Lane was not meant to be part of this. So then they just were like, I think we're going to make this make sense somehow. Because originally they said that Clover came from the water. And like I said, from the original ARG, it was the deep sea drilling woke it up. And it came from the water. This is supposed to be an amphibious creature that has come from the sea. Although the clip of like, it's a satellite falling, but then is it the creature coming from space? So that's been a whole argument. It has come from the sea. 10 Cloverfield Lane. Now it's aliens. So like, is it aliens or is it space? The sea creature. So now the paradox. It's both. And Donald Logue's character says, you know, if they keep messing with this energy, this could release monsters and demons and creatures from the sea. The direct quote. So we cover our bases.
Yeah.
Ripping fabric and time and reality. And real fun catch with that one. His character's name is Mark Stambler. And 10 Cloverfield Lane. We have Howard Stambler.
Stambler, yep.
So connection there. Mm-hmm. Another really fun one. I believe
they're supposed to be brothers.
Brothers, cousins, humans. Because again, a big argument we can get into, discussion argument. Is this multiple dimensions? Because this kind of makes it seem like it's one. And we've just ruined the space-time continuum. Because I'm pretty sure it's one, but that is meant to be argued. Another really fun one, the woman who is interviewing him in that clip is the burned woman from 10 Cloverfield Lane. The woman whose face is melted is the same actress. Oh, so I'm like, you guys are just messing with us now. And I'm like, they know about the conspiracies. And I'm like, you guys are really just trying to cause shit now. So I'm like, okay, so you have the two conspiracy theory brothers, and now you have the actress played by the same person. So I'm like, thank you for that.
And she was in Silicon Valley.
I haven't seen it, so...
Yeah. Well, and so was the, what's his name from the first movie,
So, on the spaceship, you see that a lot of the electronics are made by Tegregato. There's more. There's a big Slushko truck on there in the beginning, and I'm just like, you're just shoving this everywhere. So I'm like, you're just putting the Easter eggs. So I'm like, let's go. There was also a big thing that, so, because this came out in 2018?
Yes.
2018.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's very interesting because in 2012 is when CERN actually found the God particle. Like, that's when the Higgs boson, like, they actually, like, made Sweden. So, like, that was, like, the whole, like, oh, we're actually, like, hitting this. So, like, it was, like, how true to life, like, is this? Like, would it be, like, with, like,
it's like them a Simpsons episode
smashing it? So, yeah. Like, really fascinating that, like, how soon in production was this to them, like, actually discovering that? Because the working title of this movie was The God Particle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, kind of fun. So, love little science there and space time. But, yeah, I just, a lot of the pieces didn't work for me, like quantum physics and all that. But, and again, one reality, multiple realities, and then just them overriding things. Cause, and this goes back to the first one too. J.J. Abrams has specifically gone on record saying that Clover is dead. But yet at the end in the credits, it specifically says it's alive. So I'm like, okay, come on. You guys are just like going at
Messing
it. So I'm like,
this, yeah.
So I'm like, come on now. So again, one universe, multi-universe, like pick a theory.
Yeah.
So they're just kind of rewriting their own stuff now.
And it's a lot of ado about a franchise that really is not that great, you know, like, but,
like, come on.
Yeah.
They're like almost retconning things that don't need to be retconned.
Right. Exactly. And it just, at a certain point, it becomes kind of a waste of time when the product you're making, you know, you've got one good movie out of three. I mean, I don't want to say the first movie isn't, you know, it's fine. It's a good movie.
It was a good movie.
But like, the, you know, the best movie you've got is, it, you know, I don't know. It
was
seems
it
like
meant
a lot
to be in the franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
we did see Slusho again in this one, the figurine. Mm. So at least we have one thing to tie it all together.
I guess.
My favorite part in this entire film is when Volkov, he's going to look at his eyeball and he sees the vein or whatever, there's something inside of him that's like traveling down by his eye. And then his eye just like turns like 30 degrees to the right, just individually by itself. And it was very, very creepy. I loved that effect. I also, God, I can't think of, I had one other thing I wanted. Oh, that's the fact that this is both a prequel and a sequel.
Yes.
How this movie fits.
Right. Yeah.
So,
that's
which
true.
Is interesting. So, Matt, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Not really, but I mean that I did notice, like, I don't know why the hypodermic needles all have to sound the same in sci-fi movies. They always have like a specific sound effect for them. And I, you know, there was a certain, for a while I was kind of like, this isn't bad, you know, but it, my patience with it waned after a while. I somewhere around the time the guy's arm showed up and started writing on its own, I kind of lost me
down.
Then
I'm
like,
you.
Oh yeah, yeah, I did tap out then. The arm thing was, and then at a certain point it was like kind of, you know, tapping, you know, whatever on the table or on the floor. But like it wrote a message. I'm like, how the hell is an arm? The arm doesn't have a brain, you know, what? And I wondered if there was going to be an explanation, like some other guy is controlling this arm or whatever, but no, we never really got an explanation on the arm. And I guess it was foolish of me to expect one, but yeah, by the end of this, I was like, I was hoping she was going to take the, what is it? probe or whatever, not probe, whatever the thing is she was, they pod. Were getting the pod. Yeah, the pod.
Escape pod. Yeah.
The escape pod. I was hoping she was going to go to the world that isn't hers, because that would have been interesting. And a literal paradox, you know, the seeing yourself, you know.
I agree. I would have loved to have seen her confront herself.
Right, exactly.
At least who is playing your role in that particular universe. That would have been interesting. That would have
been interesting. But instead, we kind of got this crazy. And
she can leave herself a voicemail. It works out so much better.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then just how much damage can this space station handle, you know, and still be a functioning enough to, I mean, they barely, you know, survived getting the energy to flow through at the beginning. And here it is like half a space station by the time they do that. And I'm assuming that the gravity is created by the spinning little things, right? The gravity that they have on this space station is created by the centrifugal force of spinning those little things. It still didn't quite make sense to me why, you know, how it worked, but I'm assuming that those little spinners, I just couldn't figure out where they were in relation to the rest of the ship and how they were all walking around with gravity. Or artificial gravity, but I suppose it was the spinning thing, but there were like three spinning things. So did that mean that there were more people on other parts of this space station? Like I couldn't quite figure out.
It was just them.
Yeah.
But the answer so, is I don't know. 2028 really and their science.
Yeah, I guess so.
Future.
Yeah. In
Future.
3 years, we're going to be doing this.
Yes.
Yep. In 3 years.
The answer will present itself on the AGR in That's 3 years.
Don't worry about it.
You know what? I will go one step further. Not only did I want to see her in the escape pod, go down to whatever planet, not only meet herself, but I wanted her to kill herself, the other self.
Yeah.
So she could take over the role of raising her kids that she normally would not have seen.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little slasher. Could turn into a slasher then, or a mommy horror kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, that would have been a neat spin to this sci-fi thing, just like in 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Psychopath. Yeah. She takes over. Yeah.
Missed opportunity. Maybe they'll do that in 2028.
Maybe.
Black Mirror kind of did that.
Yeah.
And that's what I think these movies basically are just Black Mirrors.
Yeah. Long.
You know?
Yeah. Long. Yeah.
So.
All right.
Leanne, you go ahead and tell me about Overlord and I will read
they
you.
They said it was supposed. So Overlord is supposed to have been the fourth, but technically third.
Yeah.
Cloverfield, because they were basically going to pull a Halloween 3. And it was going to be an anthology of just completely unrelated, like we're saying, Black Mirror episodes, essentially. And everything was just so it was going to be that one was going to be, I think, Operation Cloverfield was its working title. And they Abrams pulled out of it because it's still a J.J. Abrams one, but he pulled it out of the Cloverfield universe.
Right.
So that one was supposed to be in the Cloverfield universe, but he took it out.
And I had heard that it was because, of course, my reasoning doesn't make any sense, because Cloverfield Paradox wasn't very well received, but that
it was done before Paradox.
Yes. So that doesn't make sense. But what I'm looking at a screen right now and reading is no, Overlord is not officially part of the Cloverfield universe. While it was initially speculated and even suggested by some that it may be, director J.J. Abrams clarified that Overlord is a standalone film and not a sequel or spinoff to the Cloverfield franchise. And then Abrams confirmed all this at CinemaCon 2018.
Well, he also says that Clover's dead.
So I know.
I don't believe him.
Can't believe the thing the guy says. So.
Yeah.
But there's also the fan ones that I've, which these are speculations. These are not real.
Right.
They want Underwater to be part of it. And they also want A Quiet Place to be part of the universe.
Yeah.
Caused by the paradox.
Mm. Now, Correct me if I'm wrong. What was the name of the stuff that Tagarado was digging up sea under nectar. The ocean? Sea nectar. Okay. Wasn't it supposed to be that it was the sea nectar that the Nazis were using in Overlord?
I haven't seen Overlord to turn in so long.
Okay. Mm. The research that I was doing is they were using that back in World War II. Because
it's supposed to make you... Results of coming into direct contact with raw nectar was like it makes you have amazing skin. It makes you super strong. It makes you do a whole bunch of stuff. So it would make sense that was what they're using.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, based off of that, I could totally see that being Overlord. Yeah.
And then filling it in. But then the one that I'm like, there's another one. I have no idea if it's still active. I haven't actually tried to access it. But apparently people, when Cloverfield Paradox was still up, and when it was, like, I guess back in 2018, people were still trying to access the Tegarado website. And it basically said, it was all in Hebrew. And it said basically like they're like working on roads in Israel. And the newest thing it's saying, there's a new film. It's called Cloma. And it's speculated that that's J.J. Abrams. I don't know if it's on his. I haven't looked if it's on his IMDb or if it's just a speculated project. But basically, there is... a 2003 Israeli TV movie, which, and I'm gonna butcher this, so work with me, people. It's Kol Ma Sheyesh Li, which translates to All I've Got. And it's about a man who dies in a car accident and waits for his girlfriend on the other side. And basically, she's like given the choice to go to like the moment of the car accident or like join her like lover, her husband, boyfriend, whatever it is. So everyone's like, so that's what Cloma means. And that's why everything on the Tegaratu website is in like Hebrew and why they're working on roads in Israel. So it might not be called Cloma. That's just why it's the working title.
There's a movie in his upcoming called Kolma, K-O-L-M-A.
L-M-A.
Yeah.
And that one is a remarried widow is given an unusual offer to relive her first love as the end of her life draws near.
However, so people think that this is further, in the
Cloverfield universe.
Yeah, there is
another one that says Untitled Cloverfield sequel.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
But even more interesting is the very first one, Constantine 2.
Well, we all care about that.
Yeah.
That one's more important.
Matt loves himself some Keanu Reeves.
We do love Keanu.
I'm not a fan, but
I like Keanu.
And he also has a movie
Hot Wheels movie.
He has a movie coming up called Demon Mond, which is the world battles a monstrous oppressive force. So who knows? There's a lot of opportunity for Cloverfield
more
tie-ins.
Cloverfield.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's a Star Trek prequel.
Yeah.
The Yankees win, Untitled Superman project, but
yeah, so
flushed.
Everyone was just
God
like,
knows
just because the Tegaratu was like, they're in Israel. Everything's in Hebrew. So it has to be like the Kolma movie. Like, that's it. Go.
Crazy.
I'm fascinated by this Hot Wheels movie. Is that like because Barbie did so well? They're going to do Hot Wheels now for the boys?
Okay, but there's not, like, unless you're making it actual cars, like, is there a human in Hot Wheels?
Not really, no.
We already have a Cars movie.
Yeah,
it's
there's
called
a Cars,
cars.
Movie,
like,
right.
Like, that's what I was saying. I was like, is there a human in the, like, Hot Wheels franchise?
Well,
I'm not
that's
aware
like, I don't know if you're watching the studio, but that's one of the things they do is they want to make a Kool-Aid movie because of how well Barbie did.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, God.
All right.
I mean, we do love the Kool-Aid Man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do.
Okay. There was a very hilarious episode while they're trying to decide who to cast it. It's very funny. Okay, so the next episode is going to be my pick, and so we're going to go, Joe. We're gonna go back to the 70s, back to
my favorite time period.
Yeah, the Sven. I don't know why you're being sarcastic about that, because the 70s were fucking awesome for movies. But
I was eight,
huh?
I was eight when they ended.
Yeah, I mean, I was. No, you weren't.
Yeah, you were eight? Born in 72.
Okay, yeah, that's true. All right, so I'm going to tell you, Joe, we're gonna watch some movies that I remember when I was a kid watching the Monster Rally movie show out of Channel 44 in Chicago, and yeah. And it wasn't Svengoolie, but it was a Svengoolie kind of guy, like a million other shows, local yeah. shows like that, and he played some movies, and so I got the idea for this was a certain movie that I saw that scared the crap out of me when I was a little kid. And I have always looked for it, and I have never found it again. And in fact, I talked to a guy a while back from Vinegar Syndrome and told him, you guys need to find the severed arm and do that. And he was like, I'll look into it. About a year later, they released the severed arm on Vinegar Syndrome. So
all right.
That is going to be the first movie, The Severed Arm, from 1973, directed by Thomas S. Alderman. And that one you can find on Tubi.
Wait a minute. You just picked apart the Cloverfield Paradox.
Right.
Because some guy had an arm that was able to move on its own, and you right. didn't like that. Now, well, we're going to watch a whole movie about it.
It is not about a severed arm.
Okay.
It is.
It's called the severed arm.
You will see why, but it's actually a revenge flick.
Okay.
You're going to love it, Joe.
It's a romantic comedy.
Also from 1974, this is one's been on the watch list for a long time, and I've always wanted to do it as a pick, and I just couldn't figure out a theme to do it. So if you just shove it into the 70s, it works. It's on Shudder, and it's called Messiah of Evil, 1974, okay. Directed by Willard Hayek.
Scott.
Yeah. So this is a... This one is I've heard a lot about, and so I've been wanting to watch this for a while. So Messiah of Evil. And last but not least, 1971, Let's Scare Jessica to Death. And that one, oh, I'm sorry, Messiah of Evil. Did I say it was on Shudder? Yeah, it's on Shudder. And Let's Scare Jessica to Death is on Pluto TV or Hoopla.
Where was the severed arm?
Severed arm is on Tubi.
Tubi, okay.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Messiah of Evil on Shudder, The Severed Arm on Tubi, and Let's Scare Jessica to Death is on Pluto TV, or I think you can rent it on, or it's on Hoopla, or you can rent it on Amazon. So
okay.
So Leanne, thank you so much. Let's give you a little smattering of applause. Yes. Thank you for coming. Yay. Your in-depth analysis was fantastic, especially for
left
this.
Left us in the dust.
Yeah, no kidding. There's
a
lot.
I fell down a rabbit hole.
Yeah,
it sounds sure like it. Wow, it's crazy.
It's yeah. more like a rhinoceros hole.
So, yeah, we'd love to have you back sometime if you're up for it.
And, I would love to. Give me some movies and I will.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, we're good with doling out the assignments.
So. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
We used to do five movies a week, but we...
Six.
Six, yeah. Actually, at one time it was six movies.
Six movies an episode.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. And that now sucks. during Shocktober, we watch a horror movie a day. But
wow.
But that's just Shocktober. Yeah. So we've streamed and it down to three. Yeah.
Sometimes we were watching a movie every day in addition to our six movies for the
true.
Episode.
Yeah, that's and that, that's true. Yeah.
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 I almost had to quit my job. Yeah.
On a weekend,
it, so.
I can
yeah,
sure. knock some out.
Yeah,
like
right
during the work day, it's like I'm like, ooh, do I have a break?
Yeah,
let's
see what I can get through.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yeah. So those are the movies. So go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merchandise. Joe's designed some wonderful T-shirts, by the way. So you guys should check them out and buy a couple.
Shucks, Matt, thanks.
Yeah, he's designed some good stuff. Also, Joe even is just giving away CineScare phone wallpapers too. Those are on there.
Yes, of all shapes and sizes.
Yeah. So check them out.
All right.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. And we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming. We'll get you, Barbara.
We've got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
Go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Save this girl.